Saram, dear listeners, welcome once again to Vahini Satsang. We continue our deliberations on Sandeha Nivarini. We are now in Chapter 7. For matter of convenience, we have broken Chapter 7 into various segments, and the last few episodes we have been contemplating on Chapter 7.3, the third segment of Chapter 7, which consists of very powerful, potent, short and straight directions from Bhagwan. Swami is telling us how we can be dear to Him, how we can win His love, how we can be close to Him. And in the last few episodes, we have been taking each of these tenets and we have been contemplating. We did the one which was based on good company, point number 23 in the previous session. So let's now listen once again to this chapter, segment 7.3, and then we'll continue with the next direction of Bhagwan. But before that, I will address a question that was raised by one of the listeners. So let's listen once again to what Bhagwan has given us in this segment, and then we'll pray to Swami and see how He guides our thoughts this beautiful Thursday.
15. Try to keep under check the five sins that the body commits: killing, adultery, theft, drinking intoxicants, and meat eating. The sacred life can reach the highest if these can be completely avoided. 16. One must be always vigilant, without a moment's carelessness, against the eight sins that the mind perpetrates: kamam or lust, krodham or anger, lobham or greed, moham or attachment, mada or ego, envy, hatred and pride. Man's primary duty is to keep all these things at a safe distance. 17. When in pursuit of wrong actions, man's mind acts hurriedly. During these times, without allowing the mind to go its way, remember the name of the Lord and attempt to do some good deed or the other. Those who do thus will certainly become fit for the grace of the Lord. 18. First, give up the evil tendency to feel envious at the prosperity of others and the desire to harm them. Be happy that others are happy. Sympathize with those who are in adversity and wish for their well-being. This is the sign of God's love present in you. 19. Patience is all the strength that man needs. 20. Those who aspire for happiness must be engaged in good deeds. 21. It is easy to conquer anger through love, attachment through reasoning, falsehood through truth, bad through good, and greed through charity. 22. Do not respond to the words of the wicked. It is good to keep them at a distance. In fact, do not have any relationship with such people. 23. Seek the company of good men, even at the cost of your honor and life. However, pray to God to bless you with the discrimination needed to distinguish between the good and the bad. You must also endeavor to do this with the intelligence given to you. 24. No doubt, those who conquer kingdoms and earn fame in the world are hailed as heroes. But truly those who have conquered the senses must be acclaimed as the conquerors of the universe. 25. The results of one's action, whether good or bad, continue to always pursue man. 26. Greed yields only sorrow. Contentment is best. There is no happiness greater than contentment. 27. The evil manipulations of the mind has to be uprooted, else it will ruin life itself. 28. Bear with fortitude both loss and grief, and search for that which will benefit you and grant you joy. 29. When you are invaded by anger, practice silence or remember the name of the Lord. Do not remind yourself of things which will inflame the anger more. That will do incalculable harm. 30. From this moment, avoid all bad habits. Do not delay or postpone. They do not contribute the slightest joy or happiness.
So that is what Bhagwan has mentioned in this segment 7.3. And in the previous episode, we spent some time deliberating on point number 23. Seek the company of good men even at the cost of your honor and life. However, pray to God to bless you with the discrimination needed to distinguish between the good and the bad. You must also endeavor to do this with the intelligence given to you. In fact, the last two episodes, I spent in trying to understand what is the meaning of good company, what impact it has, what is the nature of the good, is it okay if we are mostly good, what is the way to measure how good we are, and what is the goal of being in the company of good men? How can we be in the company of good men, and what is the ultimate result of good company? I think we spent good amount of time trying to contemplate on all these aspects concerning keeping good company. We received a question about good company last week after the program. A Sai parent has written to us, and this is what she says. In this age, in the Kali age, you only see shades of grey. Very difficult to find black and white. Very difficult to say this person is good or bad, because everybody has shades of goodness as well as some things unpleasant in them. So she was asking how to be in good company in this, in these times. And the other question, she said, how do we understand good company versus bad company with regards to teens and youngsters, especially when they are connected to so many through social networking? Partying and hanging around has become a trend, and it is difficult for Sai parents to hold their kids in satsang or Sai circle. And she wanted to know if Swami has told anything about giving or going to the parties. So this is what a listener has written, and I want to split this into two parts. First, she says, in this Kali age, you find only gray shades, no black or white. So how to be in good company? I had mentioned this in the previous session also. Yes, it is really difficult to find people who are entirely good in every way in today's times. And that is the reason why I always feel that you should not have any person as your idol, because that person may be great in a particular thing, may be great in a sport, may be great in acting, may be great in a particular discipline of science, might have achieved a lot, but that does not mean that everything else about the person is something that we can emulate. So it is very, very risky to have any person as your idol in these times. So, good company to me is to be in the company of goodness in people. As we agreed, in everyone there is something good and there is something not good. Let us look at what is good in each person and let's associate ourselves with that. In the school, in the college, there could be someone who is very hardworking. When he says that he will achieve this, be it becoming a rank holder, be it cracking an exam, you know, somebody really works hard, but at the same time somebody also could be short-tempered. There could be someone who has a vice, but at the same time has a very soft heart. There could be someone who may not be great in academics, but could be very devoted to his parents. So everybody has something or the other which is good. And if we are constantly looking at what is that which is beautiful in every person, just like Jesus Christ looked at that dog, sick dog lying on the road, and everyone was moving away, and Jesus stood there and said, look at its teeth, they are so clean. So if only we can constantly look at what is good in each person and associate ourselves with the goodness, then that is probably one way we can be in good company. And once you start looking at goodness of people, once you are in that frame of mind, you know, you will only attract such people, such good vibes to you. Slowly, you will form a community which has similar wavelength and you will find beautiful company. And that is the reason why probably so many insight centers connect so much more and in a deeper way with their Sai brothers and sisters than even with their own relatives. Because the wavelength matches. Because you feel you're in sync with the other person's thought process and other person is helping you on what you're trying to do with your life. So once we look at what we want to be in terms of goodness, then slowly we will see what we envisage ourselves to be, and that kind of company will automatically get attracted and come to us. So that's about how to find good company. The second question was, what to do with teens and youngsters when they are connected to social media and they are partying and they are hanging out? That's become a trend now. It's difficult for Sai parents to hold their kids in satsang or study circle. Has Swami said anything about partying? Well, as I was thinking about this question, I'm always tempted to look at the system that Bhagwan has established in his schools and colleges. I also went through that system and I always look at this for answers. I remember on so many occasions, Swami would tell the students especially when he visited the hostel, that he was talking exclusively to the boys. He would say, don't go from room to room like cats and dogs. Do not spend your time mindlessly gossiping. Remember, you have come here for Swami and for studies. So Swami would always say, talk less. Work more. So definitely, Bhagwan will not like spending time, money, resource in a manner that is reckless and unproductive. But you cannot, of course, impose this on youngsters. You cannot tell them, don't do this, and it will definitely get a very negative reaction from them. And so that is the reason why, how Bhagwan did it in the Satya Sai system of integral education. Swami made the schedule of the students so tight that even if a student before joining Bhagwan school or college was used to spending time with his phone for 3 to 4 hours every day, once he joins the hostel, he will completely forget that. He will not even miss it because the schedule in the hostel has so many elements to it. There is no time to think about anything else. Right from morning, as soon as you get up, your prayer, your jogging, your extracurricular activities, college, again prayer, and after that so many events in the hostel, in the mandir. There is something that is constantly happening, and there are so many things happening that you cannot not be part of anything, because whatever is your talent, whatever way you can associate yourself, there are enough opportunities. So this is what Swami did. He ensured that the system was packed, and that's how it was in the Gurukula system. Earlier also, the students studied with the Guru and they did everything in the ashram, and that's how the hostel is run by the students. The students take care of the dining hall, they take care of the maintenance, they take care of the PA system, they take care of the stores, they take care of gardening, they take care of kitchen, they take care of everything. Of course, with little outside help and teachers and everyone. But that is how constantly they are engaged and their time is being spent very productively. In fact, the students have only 2 hours for their academic studies. I mean, that is all they have in the hostel. 2 hours is what is allocated for your academics. Rest of the time you're busy doing so many things, learning, be it music, be it Vedam, be it band, be it athletics. There is so much, and there are so many people so happy to guide you, to hold your hand. So that is one way Swami did, wherein he created a system where the mind is constantly occupied. And when you're a teenager, very difficult to subdue your tendencies, but they can be redirected. They can be channelized. And that is how Bhagwan had the music college, he had the indoor stadium, he had such a huge gymnasium, everything was there so that the energies are channelized. And so no one complains that there are no gadgets. No one complains that, you know, we don't have smartphones with us in the hostel. What kind of life is this? They have no time to even think all these things. You join the hostel and in 2 years, you will not realize how 3 years pass, 5 years pass, and suddenly you are already a postgraduate, already a graduate, already you have done your master's in technology, and along with that you have become master in so many other things. In fact, I am tempted to share the story of one boy who, just like this parent who has written about youngsters today partying and whiling away their time, this boy too was in a similar environment. He belonged to Nepal. He did his schooling in Kathmandu. He joined Bhagwan's college in the year 2012, the year after Bhagwan left his physical form. See, when Bhagwan was there in physical form, yes, it was a very different experience. Whatever be the boy's inclinations, tendencies, once they join and you have Bhagwan's darshan and Swami's direct interactions, all that has so much transformative value that things just change and change in no time. Even I was curious about what happens after April 2011. And this story, when it came to me, when I heard this story firsthand from this boy, it really opened up very, very new perspectives in my mind. And I know that there are so many more stories like this. So this boy, Dev, he comes from Kathmandu, Nepal. And his mother was always concerned about him because Dev was into wrong company. Teenagers. He would come whenever he wants to home. He would sleep whenever he wants. He would get up on his own will. If mother asked anything, he would get upset. He would get angry. He was very short-tempered. And when you are in that kind of a company, you are into a lot of bad habits. And if anyone asked him to stop anything, he would just revolt. The mother didn't know what to do. You were afraid to even question him because it can happen that this boy will not even come home. He will go and sleep in his friend's house or somewhere else. So mother was always in pain and he never used to talk to his mom also. He would just come, eat his stuff and go. Never even bother about what the mother is thinking. Didn't just like, even though it might be very difficult to say this, but that's how it was. He didn't even like his mom because he felt mom is questioning me, mom is asking me not do this, you know, it's my life. I'm going to decide how it's going to run. He didn't bother about how it is affecting the mom or dad. Just that was just out of the question. That's what happens when you are in company and at that time, at that point in time, you feel friends are everything. They are giving you the joys of life and they are the one who are adding zing to your life. And so the mother was constantly worried about this child. And he was in this 10th grade, 10th class. And after that, he has to go to college. And the mother one day was talking to a colleague of her in her office. The boy incidentally had finished his 12th. Yes. And so this colleague in mom's office told Dev's mom that, you know what, I know a college which will not only shape your son academically, not only will he become academically bright, but this college will also build his character. And when Dev's mom heard this, her ears went up. He said, really? Is there any university which can actually ensure to change and reform the character of the students? And she said, yes, yes, my son studied there. And her son apparently, interestingly, had secured gold medal in his undergraduate and postgraduate course. So Dev's mom started thinking about this college. She brought the university form, Swami's university form, and she filled it and she sent it. She never told anything to Dev because she thought if Dev comes to know, he will not even be willing to go for the entrance because she knew that Dev was just happy with his friends and he would just want to continue to be here with his group of party goers, and because, and he will not want to miss this life that he was enjoying at present. So she filled the application form, and one day she told Dev, "Can we go to Bangalore?" And Bangalore, for some reason, attracted Dev, because Bangalore is known as a party place. It's in fact, it's known for its pub culture and all that. So for Dev, it was very interesting. He said, "Okay, fine, I'll come to Bangalore," because Bangalore for him was a happening place in India. So he thought, "Okay, mom wants me to take to Bangalore. So okay, why not?" So he decided to come, and they started off. They reached Bangalore, and once they get to the taxi, the mother says that we just have to go on a long drive, and that's where our destination is. And Dave is looking out of the window, and he's seeing these different lands. You have desert, you have red earth, you have greens, and so it looked fascinating. And so he was wondering where his mom was taking him. And generally, he never talked much with his mom. He was always like that. He's not even look at her face much. It was that kind of hatred at that point in time. You know, because he just felt that this mom is constantly nagging me, is asking me questions. That kind of how teenagers get clouded, unfortunately. So as they were in the taxi, they was looking out in the window, and he was seeing these different scenes passing. And more than 2.5 hours passed, and then suddenly he saw everything change, and now it was more desert-like terrain. And then he was thinking, we were supposed to be in Bangalore. Where are we coming now? You know? And then suddenly, to his right, he sees Swami's hospital, the Sri Sathya Sai Super Speciality Hospital. And that was such a beautiful building. To him, it was absolutely breathtaking to see that edifice. And he thought, wow, in the middle of nowhere, what is this beautiful building? And then as they moved on and on, he saw even more beautiful buildings, the music college, the space theater, and the colleges, the stadium, the Hanuman statue, and all these from the road as he was seeing. He thought, my God, this is an amazing place. So beautiful. And he thought, wow, where are we? And that's when he comes to know that they are not in Bangalore, but they are in Prashantinilayam. And he had no regrets, because it looked like a very interesting place. And the pleasant thing was, everyone he saw was very gentle, very welcoming, and they were saying, "Sai Ram, Sai Ram." Everyone was very cooperative. So he got the room, and there also everyone was telling Sai Ram. For anything and everything, everyone says Sai Ram, and they really are saying it with love. So all that was very nice. It was strange, but very welcoming. Dev says that, you know, it was very nice. I mean, someone is so hospitable, and they were so welcoming. It almost felt like, even if I'm coming from a foreign land, but it is like nobody is treating you here as you are anything different. So it was very comforting. And what had happened was, the mail from the university had not reached Dave's home. So mother took Dev, and they went to the computer center in the institute to collect his admission ticket, which had not reached, because of the distance. They are in Nepal. For whatever reason, the admission ticket had not reached them, and so mother went now to the institute computer center, and there they met one of the teachers, and this teacher very patiently heard Dev's mom's request that, you know, that they have not yet received the admission ticket, they have come for it. And so this person went inside, they made some inquiries, he came back again, and again the mother repeated whatever he wanted. He heard that very patiently, he went again, did some checks. So before he got the thing, there were quite a few interactions, and they were seeing that this person was so patient, even though his mom was repeating stuff and things like that, this person was so kind and so willing to help. And he thought, wow, this is such a nice place. Someone we are meeting for the first time, but is talking to us so nicely, so kind to us. And he almost started wondering, is this just a facade, or is it really the way things are? It was such a pleasant experience for him as he was going around seeing the place, seeing the way people are interacting. And when he was in that positive frame of mind, that's when, you know, mother started telling him that this is the admission ticket and you've got to write this exam. And so Dev was now, by Swami's grace, willing to write the exam. He had made no preparations for it. He had absolutely no clue that he's going to be writing an entrance test, but he just went. And so we just did guesswork, inky pinky ponky, whatever, multiple choice questions. So he just did whatever came to his mind, and he just finished the entrance test in no time. And even now, he had no inclination to join the place. I mean, after he gave his examination, he came back to his room inside the ashram, and his mother was there and he was there. In fact, it's one of those rare occasions when mother and he are in the same room and there for long hours, because otherwise in his home, he'll be in his room and mom will be in her room and he will never go and spend time with the mom. But here was, ashram rooms are small, one room, and he and the mother, they are in the same room. And you know, it was one moment when he actually was looking at the mom, looking at his mom at close quarters, thinking about her. It just, perhaps it was the ashram ambience, something within him started happening, you know, perhaps his heart started really feeling like a heart. And for a moment he started feeling the pain of the mother when the mother was in the room. And you know, for a moment when he looked at mother's eyes the way he had not looked before, he really felt that there was a lot of concealed pain in the mother's heart. And then the thought came, mother got me here. Maybe if I join her, maybe it'll give her some happiness. Somehow, you know, his heart felt that maybe I should do something. Mother is really not okay at all. And he felt that he is the reason for it. And mother, in fact, never told him anything. Mother never said that, you know, I wanted to study here, I wanted to become a better person. She didn't say anything. She just said, you know, can you write the entrance? That's all. But Dev said that, you know, mother's silence spoke much louder than what she could have possibly said in words. She never told him anything. But just looking at the mother changed Dev. His heart started feeling like it had never felt before. And for a moment he thought, maybe if I join here, it will be good. Maybe it will make mom happy. And that thought itself was something so amazing. He's thinking that, let me do something which will make mom happy. Such thoughts had never ever occurred for the last so many years in his life. But then he thought, I don't know. Because he had just written the entrance examination in a very shabby way. And there was another thought that was also happening parallelly, supporting his idea, because he thought, this place is so nice, everyone is so gentle, so kind, non-judgmental. If I decide to stay here, in fact, no one will look at my past. I can start a new life. They will judge me only from what I am right now. And I can choose to be whatever I want to be in a different way from now on. So there were all these thoughts that were happening within him. For him, it was actually strange that he was thinking like that. But then, you know, there was a mind, there's a tussle between the mind and the heart. The heart was telling, yeah, maybe you should try and study. And the mind was telling, it makes no sense. There's no logic in this. All your friends are back home. What do you mean you won't study here? We had planned to be in Kolkata. You're supposed to be there. And we had made so many plans about how we are going to spend our graduation days. But the heart somehow is feeling, no, maybe we should try and stay here. But then, you know, he was feeling that it's too late. I mean, I have completely spoiled my entrance examination. So there is no way I can, you know, even dream that I will get a chance to study in this college. So there was also this moment of sorrow that I could not do the entrance well. I wish I had come prepared. Now even if I want to study, there is no chance. And he said, okay, fine, whatever. They were supposed to put up the list of the candidates selected for the interview who has passed the entrance tests. And so casually he went that evening to see that list. And to his utter surprise, his name is there. He has passed the entrance. He can't believe this. He had just done guesswork for all the questions. And he has cleared. And that sort of moved him. He said, oh my God, if destiny has brought me till here, I should not leave it. He said, now I'm going to work. I'm going to clinch my seat here. Whatever be the case, I'm going to do my interview well and I'm going to get an admission here. He just felt that the force is helping him and he has to now not lose the second chance that destiny is giving him. And so in the interview, which is very interesting, so one of the panel members asked him, so do you know anything about Swami? And Devjit knew nothing about Swami. So he said, well, Swami, he's a miracle man. That's all I know about him. He said, what else? What else do you know about him? Well, he does miracles. Yeah. He's a wonderful person. Yeah. He's a great man, he does miracles. I said, okay, but anything else? Anything else do you know about Swami? And Dev was absolutely clueless. He didn't know what to say. He just looked around and he looked at the photograph of Bhagwan which was there in that room and he said, well, he has a very interesting funky hairstyle. And the interview panel, they just laughed. I mean, how do you respond to a thing like that? He just says all he knows about Swami is that he has a funky hairstyle. So his interview was about to end. Then suddenly one of the panel members opened his list of certificates. And interestingly, this panel member's eyes fell on one certificate where Dev had won in a debate competition. Now, Dev was good in English because he was very westernized. He used to listen to all this pop jazz music and he used to see English movies. So, he was very good with English. So, this professor of political science, when he saw that, he said, okay, so you have won a prize in debate. What was the last topic you debated on? And Dev said that the last topic I debated on for which we won a prize was, should students be involved in politics? And so, when he heard that, this professor said, okay, can you speak for 2 minutes for and against this topic? And Dev thought, wow, I'll just do it. He didn't want to lose the chance. So, he did his best. He rocked it. 2 minutes for and 2 minutes against that topic. And in fact, at the end of it, all the panel members were quite impressed with the way he presented that, because that was something he was good at, and this is something that he had done recently. And at the end of the interview, one of the panel members said, okay, we hope in the years that you will spend in this institute, maybe you will learn more about Swami. So that was quite a thing for Dev. Wow, it has really happened. And so that's how he became a student in Bhagwan's college. And now comes his journey in the hostel. So in the hostel, on the first day, you're supposed to bring your mattress, you're supposed to bring your dresses. So when he entered the room for the very first time, he saw one person seated in a corner, and he saw that there were no metal frames for the mattresses to be placed on. So there was no beds, and so he looked, no cots. So he looked at this brother and he said, you know, where are the cots? And this brother said, well, you're supposed to bring your bed with you. You're supposed to bring. He said, I mean, how do I get my bed? How do you expect me to get my bed all the way from Nepal? He said, no, brother. We sleep on the ground here. All you have to do is just bring your mattress. And Dev said, what? You sleep on the ground? He said, yeah, all of us, we sleep on the ground. And yes, please, if you don't mind, just keep your slippers outside the room. We don't wear slippers inside the room. And Dev said, oh my God, you have to sleep on the ground. You're not supposed to wear slippers. In fact, at his home, he would never take the slippers out. He would just wear his shoes and go wherever he wants in the house. I mean, it was very different. He did whatever he wanted. And here someone says, you can't wear shoes. You have to sleep down. And then the next question Dev asks is, okay, no bed, no slippers. What about internet? Do I have access to internet? And the brother says, you are just in the first year undergraduate, and I'm sorry, I think we don't have access to internet. And Dev says, oh my God, how am I going to live here? No internet? How am I going to survive? It was quite a shock for Dev. Where has he landed? It is almost, it felt like he is back to Stone Age or something. Because these days, if you don't have internet, it's like you are a caveman. That's how he felt. And so he was thinking, should he stay? Should he go back? Then he thought, okay, I've just come. Let me just spend some time. Let me explore what this is all about. For a moment, he thought, you know, anyway, I've just left everything. I'm away from my mom. I'm away from everything. Let me just stay, you know, for 1 or 2 days and let's see how it goes. And now he's listening to so many rules. In fact, when the room leader came and he called all the boys, when Dev didn't join that discussion, he said, I'm not interested. You know what? I mean, I'm not a Baba devotee and all that, so I don't want to listen to all this. But once you're in the hostel, there are so many rules that you have to follow. And he never liked rules in his life. He never liked anyone who asked him to follow any rule in his life, just like the teenagers. And so he kept asking, why is this rule? Why is that? Why are they asking us to do this? Why are they asking us to come at this time? And in fact, all his life, whenever he asked these questions, he was always told, shut up and follow the rule. That's the rule. And he never liked, that's why the people who asked him to follow anything. But Dev says, here it was a little different. Here, everyone was explaining to him with a lot of patience why a particular rule has been there. So every day he would have this question, why this, why this? And he would have long conversations with his room leader. He would go to the wing teacher and they would spend enormous time with him explaining to him why a particular rule has been placed in the hostel. Why does the hostel have this schedule? Why is it that you have to do prayer? Why is it that you have to go for exercise? Why is it that you have to participate in these activities? Why is it that you have yogasanas? Why is it that we do bhajans? Everything was being explained to him. And he just wanted to know the purpose behind all the rules. And as they explained to him with a lot of love, patience and understanding, well, he started accepting them. we cannot say that he started loving the rules, but he was more open and he started to accept them. That's how it began. He was not resisting the rules anymore. Earlier he would revolt, but now he began to conform. Earlier he was a rule breaker in his school, but now he felt it's okay. If these rules are there and with so much of understanding it has been placed here, so maybe I should do something so that I benefit from it. And he also saw that, you know, nothing was being compelled. Everyone was saying that even if you do not wish to follow, if you think this is not the right thing for you, we are not going to compel you. If you are free to go. Nobody is going to punish you. Nobody is going to beat down your neck and say that you have to do this. I mean, this is what it is. If you do this, this is what you will get. But if you don't want to do this, you are most free to leave the place. Nobody is going to tie you down here. So it almost made like, you know, he was spoken to as a responsible person. He has been asked to make a choice. And the choice was entirely his. He has to decide, is this what he wants in his life? Otherwise, he should be willing to follow any path and face the consequences. He says, for the first time, he felt like a responsible person. He felt, you know, someone was giving him so many choices and asking him, you think what you want to do in your life. We are here to support. So, even though he was earlier addicted to internet, now, it was okay. Even though the cell phone was an extension of his body now, he slowly started adjusting to the environment and he was busy with the hostel trying to understand and trying to confirm and follow. Off and on he would make calls, but he would call only his friends. Never he would call his mother. One of the teachers one day asked, why aren't you calling your mom or your parents? And he would say, no sir, it is very costly to call. The teacher felt that, oh, this is not right. This brother is not calling his mom because it is expensive. Though that was not the truth. He used to spend money and call his friends, but would never call the mother. So the teacher one day said, it's okay, what we are going to do, we are going to enable internet for you. Whenever you want, you go to the wing teacher and he will give you free internet access. You at least drop an email to your mom, to your parents. And exception was made and he would go to the wing teacher and he would give him the internet, he would give him his laptop and he would say, you know, just send a letter to your mom. They must be waiting to hear from you. And when they gave him the laptop, they were not like looking over his shoulder to see what is he doing. They just trusted him. And they felt that, you know, here everyone is so understanding. They're treating you like how they would want a responsible person to be treated. And he didn't want to break that trust. And so he also would just drop an email to his mom and be done with it, and he would never fool around with that opportunity that he got to be on the internet. Somehow this whole experience of someone having so much patience to listen, a system which was willing to answer all his questions and patiently wait for him to assimilate what it has to offer. And he also started seeing that when he follows some of the rules, it had such fantastic benefits, and these benefits were immediate. For example, getting up early in the morning, he noticed that if he got up early in the morning, he had a much longer day, he could get things done much better and much smoothly, no hectic running, no last minute dashing here and there. He could organize himself in a better manner. He had greater control over the day. So like this, as they started genuinely following the system, after understanding its importance, he started seeing the benefits of participating in the system. And still there were many more challenges. For example, he was so accustomed to Western music that he just could not relate to Indian music. Bhajans was something that he was just not comfortable with. In fact, he would never come for darshan, because the bhajans would happen during darshan time in the mandir, and people clapping and singing, his tongue would not roll. He was not able to pronounce the Sanskrit words in our bhajans, and he found it really difficult. He would feel frustrated sitting during darshan session, so many times he started skipping the mandir sessions. In fact, I remember him saying that he found it torturous to sit and listen to bhajans. Can you imagine that? Because he was not able to pronounce the words, he was not able to get the tune. He was only used to singing these English songs. So what he used to do is he used to just crumple himself into a little ball and hide in the cupboard, the big hole in the wall which is meant for the bed. He would go and hide there and not come out and miss the darshan sessions. He would not want to be caught. And one day the teacher saw him and he said, "What are you doing? Why are you doing this? How long can you do this? You're going to be here for 3 years. Is this how you want to spend your life? Do you want to be crumpled like this in a corner?" And that teacher gave him a Vedam book and he told, "Doesn't matter if you don't understand, as they are chanting, just read this, read the meaning." Somebody gave him Bhajanavali, said, "Doesn't matter if you're not understanding the meaning of what you're singing, just read the meaning of what is being sung. Try to get the lyrics, see what each lyric of the bhajan means." And slowly, slowly he started acclimatizing with the lyrics of the bhajans. Slowly he started appreciating this music as he started understanding the feelings behind the bhajans. So he started testing the system, testing everything that he had heard about Swami. And now that he had heard so many things about Swami, he thought, "You know, I have to find out for myself about Bhagwan. I have to myself know who this Sai Baba is. Everybody in the hostel is listening. It is Sai Baba who has laid down these rules. It is Sai Baba who is the one who is the source of this place. He is the one who is worshipped. He is the one who loves us apparently." He wanted to find this out himself. And he said, "I'm going to do some tests. I'm going to do a series of tests. And I'm going to figure out for myself who Bhagwan Shri Satya Sai Baba is." And he did a very interesting test. We'll come to that in the next episode of Vahini Satsang. I will share with you the test that Dev did and the conclusion that he received and the life-changing moment that was. And more to it, I started this story just to answer the question about how to deal with teenagers, and Dev's story came to mind because he also went through a journey like this. I have not answered the question of the devotee in full, but as I finish Dev's story in the coming episode, I will share a few more thoughts, and probably that will give some pointers to how to deal with youngsters who want to enjoy that so-called freedom and don't want to restrict their desires, don't want to restrict and channelize their energies. How to deal with that? We'll spend more time on this in the coming episode of Vahini Satsang. Thank you so much for being with me, and I'm sorry I have to stop the story here because the time is running out, but we will definitely continue this, and I will, to my understanding, share some solutions to the question that the devotee raised about what to do with teenagers who are whiling away their time in social media and in wrong friendships. Thank you so much for being with me through this. I am also eagerly waiting to continue this. As always, if you have any queries, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. You can also send your comments on our WhatsApp number 9393-258-258. Once again, 9393-258-258. Thank you so much for offering this little endeavor at His lotus feet with joy, humility and love. I take your leave. See you again next week, same time on Thursday. Thank you so much. Sai Ram.